for joining me, Mr. Pete McDaniel, golf journalist and distinguished author of Uneven Lives, The Heroic Story of African Americans in Golf. Let's start off with the background of your journey. It's Ryder Cup time, so the golf world is looking forward to this competition between American and European golfers. Tell us where it all started and if you ever saw yourself as an accomplished writer of professional golf.
Well, Dr. Stroman, it started in Arden, North Carolina. Arden, for your listeners who don't know, is a suburb of Asheville. And I grew up in Arden in the country. They tell me I was writing when I was 3 or 4 years old.
Wow.
I used to write these little skits and perform them for my parents, who gave a lot of parties back in the day. And I'd come out and I'd sing my little ditty, do a little James Brown dance and recite my poetry. And, you know, I just loved the applause and the hugs that I got. So that was the beginning of my journey. I wanted to be a lyricist growing up. I fell in love with Motown and Smokey Robinson and all the great writers that were writing soul music back in the day. And so that's how I started out, writing poetry and lyrics, and had some stuff published and, thought I was hot stuff when I was a teenager. But I started caddying. My golf journey started when I was 11 years old, and I went to Biltmore Forest Country Club, followed my brother and cousin to Biltmore Forest Country Club, which is in Asheville, to caddy. And I was too small to carry a bag, so I started out as a shag boy.
Mm.
Caddy master was a friend of my parents, and he gave me a little job shagging golf balls. But soon I grew and big enough to carry not only one bag, but two big bags around a hilly Donald Ross golf course, Biltmore Forest Country Club, and I would earn maybe $7 a day. But that was folding money. And, for a young kid, that meant a lot. It helped me buy school clothes. It also taught me work ethic and, you know, that you had to work in this life to get what you wanted. And I actually learned that from my parents. My mother was a domestic and worked in plants. And my father worked at Christ School, a private school, for rich kids. So that's what I saw growing up. As I said, my journey started in golf when I was 11 years old. One of the members, an older gentleman, gave me a 3, 5, 7, and 9 iron.
There you
and
go.
Told me that he'd like to see what I could do with them. These were wooden shafted clubs. I remember this was probably in 1963, I guess it was. And so I took those golf clubs home, and my brother and cousins and I made a little three-hole golf course and a cow pasture across the road from our home. And we would be out there every day hitting golf shots. And the reason I'm a really good bunker player is because we had a creek that ran through that cow pasture. And in the summer, the creek would recede and it would leave a sandy kind of bank. And I'd be down there on that bank opening up a 9-iron as wide open as I could, hitting bunker shots. And to this day, I am an excellent greenside bunker player. So,
that's an amazing
high school,
story.
College golf, high school golf, and basketball. And I tell people my claim to fame is not that I was Tiger's ghostwriter for 15 years at Golf Digest. My claim to fame is that I grew up as a Tar Heel fan, wanted to go to Carolina because my high school coach, Buddy Baldwin, went to Carolina, and so did a former teammate of mine at T.C. Robinson High School, Roy Williams.
That's right.
So my claim to fame is not that I was Tiger's ghostwriter. It is that eventually I was the heir apparent to Roy Williams at point guard in high school.
Wow.
Roy was a couple years ahead of me, and there was a young man named Booty Wright who was a year ahead of me, so he was the actual heir apparent, but I followed Booty Wright as a point guard at UC Ralston Hospital. And my intention was to go on to Carolina, try to walk on or play golf or do something. I just wanted to go to Carolina. But I kind of got waylaid. I didn't have a whole lot of money, didn't get a college scholarship. So I went to UNC Asheville, walked onto the basketball team, played my freshman year, and decided I was going to devote the rest of my academic career to my schoolwork and my degree and playing golf, which is what I did. So that's where it all began. Long story short, I never filled out a resume my entire career. I graduated from UNC Asheville on a Saturday and got a call from the editor of the hometown newspaper, the Asheville Citizen Times, offered me a job. And so I went right to work as an obituary writer. That's how I received my training. You can imagine that.
Yes.
And before long, I was writing sports. I was covering hard news, police beat. That lasted for about a year. And then I pursued other interests. I wanted to get rich. You know, I had this dream that I was going to be rich and famous one day. I didn't know how, but I figured I would. You know, I just believed it. And so I started selling life insurance, traveling with a band. I wrote lyrics for this band that played R&B music, traveled throughout the Southeast, including Chapel Hill, Greensboro, Raleigh, Durham, Charlotte. The name of the group was Bite, Chew, and Spit. Nine-piece band headed by a good friend of mine, Otis Ware, and my best friend and golf partner was a guy named Leroy Posey. He played trumpet and sang lead for the band, and we traveled around. I traveled with him for about a year. And their claim to fame is that backed up the Temptations, Four Tops, you name it. We recorded a couple of my songs. It didn't do a whole lot, but but it gave me the experience and the confidence that I could, you know, write. And so it was kind of from that launching point that you know, my confidence grew, and I decided that you know, I needed to get back to what I was born to do, which was writing. Got an offer to be the sports writer at the Hendersonville Times News, which was a New York Times owned newspaper at the time. Stayed there 14 years as sports writer and sports editor. Then I decided that it was time for me to move on. And the New York Times company owned two golf magazines, Golf World and Golf Digest.
Yes.
I told them that, you know, that's where I wanted to go. I flew up to New York in 1993, where the U.S. Open was being contested at Baltusrol. That's the one that Lee Jansen won. And I had my official tryout. The editor of Golf World picked me up at the airport, Terry Galvin, drove me to New Jersey. I guess I blew their minds because I was an old, I was 40, I guess 40 years old at the time, and I had all of this newspaper experience, so I wrote daily. I wrote a game story. I wrote a column. I wrote a notes column, all of this on deadline pressure for four straight days. And I guess that was my audition. After that, they decided to hire me at Golf World, and that's where my journey really began as a golf journalist.
Well, let's take a break here, and we'll be right back to discuss more with Mr. Pete McDaniel, Tar Heel-born professional golf writer. You're listening to If You Only Knew with Dr. Debbie Stroman. We're back with Mr. Pete McDaniel, golf journalist. Now, this is such a fascinating journey, this bit about being a basketball player besides a golfer, being an obituary writer. And I've heard that a lot of great writers started doing the obits because you have to be so accurate. You can imagine how families get really upset if the information is not correct about their deceased family member. But I know for me, the importance of tempo is something that can be modeled in my day-to-day work. What tips can you take from playing golf that help you in your career today? And please continue the story about the journey to where you are today.
Well, that's a very interesting question. You know, life is about tempo. It's about tempo and timing. And, you know, I've spoken around the world, and I fancy myself as an inspirational, motivational speaker. And, you know, I have a very unique testimony as far as my spiritual walk is concerned, and we'll get into that maybe another time. But it's about being prepared. You know, we all have certain gifts, and you have to find your gifts very early in life. And the key to expanding your gift or maximizing your gift or talent is working at it. You have to decide what it is, work at it, maximize it, so that when your break comes, you're prepared to take advantage of it. A lot of us, unfortunately, have these gifts, and we think that we live in a microwave world, that the opportunity is going to come knocking to you just because you have this gift. Well, if you haven't honed your craft and really worked your gift, then when the opportunity comes, you're not going to be prepared to take advantage of it. And that's my advice. And the same thing in a golf swing. If you have bad tempo, first of all, you have to learn the fundamentals.
Yes.
And just like you have to learn the fundamentals of your craft, whatever that may be, you have to learn the fundamentals, and you have to ingrain the fundamentals in your golf swing and in your life in order to be successful. And tempo is one of the great fundamentals and probably most misunderstood and least appreciated basic in golf, because you see a lot of guys, professional athletes, professional golfers, who have a fast tempo. Well, the reason that they're able to get away with it is because they've hit thousands and thousands of golf balls, and that may be their natural tempo.
That's right.
You have to find your natural tempo, and that has helped me be a very disciplined writer, and I think we'll get into that later. But that's the key to life. You have to be very disciplined. You have to find what you want to do, stick to it, just like you have to stick to your routine, your pre-shot routine, your own tempo in golf, because you can't play with someone else's tempo.
So fill in the remaining story about where you are today.
Okay. I think we left off with me joining Golf World in 1993. And it was very fortuitous. Timing was everything, because the next year, 1994, a young man named Tiger Woods won the first of three consecutive U.S. Amateur Championships. And I had these very forward-thinking editors at Golf World who decided that they would pair the two of us. He won the 1994 U.S. Amateur Championship at the TPC in Ponte Vedra Beach, Florida. The magazine, Golf World, was naming him the Player of the Year or the Man of the Year or something, some kind of honor. And they dispatched me to Stanford to do the cover story. Now, I'd never done a cover story before, so this was a very intimidating prospect. I'd written many magazine pieces by then, and I'd written quite well. I'd written many, many newspaper articles. So I fly out to Stanford, and I meet Tiger at the golf course, and I have this whole list of prepared questions that I'm going to ask him. He arrives at the golf course right on time, very punctual for every interview that I ever had with him. Comes into the golf golf course in the and he orders breakfast. And he orders a stack of pancakes about 8 inches high and a glass of orange juice. And so I'm interviewing him, and he has given me these one-word answers. He's saying, he's never looked up from his plate, by the way. He's saying yes, no. And occasionally he'd say, what do you mean by that? So about 5 minutes into the interview, I look at my notes, and I have absolutely nothing. He finally looks up at me and kind of gives me that sly grin of his as if to say, okay, you seem to be all right. I picked you out. Then he started giving me these very insightful answers. Okay? We finish the interview. We go down to the practice range. He's trying to impress me by hitting these low hooks and high fades and all this kind of stuff, but I'm not easily impressed. I've covered the best golfers in the world. I leave there, fly back to Connecticut, and write this cover story, and the day after it appears on the news rack, Earl Woods gives me a call. And it says, Pete, I really enjoyed the story. You did a great job on my son. He said, how busy are you? And I said, well, Earl, you know, I'm writing a TV column. I'm covering the LPGA. I'm covering colleges. I asked, why? He said, well, I was thinking about writing a book, and I thought I might ask you to help me write it. I said, on second thought, Earl, I'm not that busy. So we began we began to write Training a Tiger. And again, timing was everything. In 1997, in April of 1997 to be exact, Tiger Woods won the Masters Championship in record-breaking style. Monday after winning, he and Earl Woods appeared on the Oprah Winfrey Show, and guess what? They were reading, Oprah was reading the intro to Training a Tiger, words that I had written. My head was as big as this doggone room.
And rightfully
you know,
so.
I thought I was fun. First bestseller, you know, and that really launched my career. And from there on, you know, it's been a glorious ride.
Well, let's take a break here, and we'll be right back to discuss more with Mr. Pete McDaniel, Tar Heel-born professional golf writer. We're back with Mr. Pete McDaniel, golf journalist. So if you weren't a writer, whose job outside of sports would you love to have? Now, definitely I could say a professional golfer, but outside of sports.
Oh, gosh. No one's ever asked me that. But, you know, I'd want to be I always wanted to be an entertainer. I wanted to be a singer. So I'd be Usher. Well, I'd be, I really wanted to be Luther Vandross, of course. But,
now, do you have the moves of Usher or the voice of a Luther?
Oh, absolutely not. No way. But I tell you what, in the shower, I'm pretty good, I believe, as we all think we are. But yeah, that would be my career. I would be a world famous singer, entertainer, performer.
So when it's all over and you're sitting in your rocking chair, no longer faced with deadlines and editor emails, you're probably watching the PGA. If you reflect back on your very accomplished career, what do you want people to remember you for?
Oh, boy. My book, Uneven Lives, and the documentary, Uneven Fairways, and the things that I've tried to do throughout my career to elevate my people. To shine a light on the accomplishments and contributions to the game of golf and to society as a whole by my people, because I'm very proud to be an African-American. And I'm very proud of the contributions that we've made to mankind. And if I have been able to educate, inform, inspire, motivate anyone, just one person, and I think my mission has been accomplished. So that's how I'd like to be remembered, as someone who represented his people in a very respectful, informational way, and someone who carried himself with pride and displayed honesty and truthfulness and inspired people to be better.
Well, I think you're definitely in that category right now. I certainly appreciate this time, and you're an amazing man, and hearing your story is very, very motivational. Pete McDaniel, journalist and author of highly acclaimed golf books.